Do you remember this song? Maybe you sang it during the time before Sunday school or in Sunday school. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now, when I sang it as a child, I remember singing it a little flippantly, you know, this little light of mine, oh, you know, not really, how would I put it? Not really very reverent in the way I sang it. Because I barely understood the words that I was singing. And, you know, I didn't hate this song, but I carried many questions with me into adulthood about it. You know, like, what is this light we have, and where does the light come from, and how does it become ours, and why do we need to let it shine? These questions, I believe, are answered in 1 John 1, 5 to 10. From 1 John 5, 1 to 10, we will learn what specifically the message of the light is about. Let's read this passage together. 1 John 1, verses 5 to 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you. Who did they hear it from? It was from Jesus. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, though, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Today we will make four observations about what the message of the light does. The first observation about what the message of the light does, the message of the light confronts us with God's holiness. John makes it clear here and at the beginning of his gospel who the light is. In John 1, 1 to 9, he talks about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and it goes on. And then he talks about the life, how the Word was the life. And then the Word is also called the light. They're all one in the same. The Word is called God. And then later in the Gospel of John, as part of the I Am statements, Jesus says he is the light of the world. So if we put that together, along with what is said in our passage, Jesus, as God, is the light. Jesus came as the light to this world to dispel the darkness that is in the world. He is the light. According to Vincent's word studies in the New Testament, we have in our passage a statement of the absolute nature of God. Light. God is light. Light is immaterial. This is continuing in the quote from Vincent's word studies, diffusive, pure, and glorious. It is the condition of life. Life physically represents glory, intellectually, truth, morally, holiness. As immaterial, it corresponds to God as spirit, as diffusive to God as love, as the condition of life to God as life, as pure and illuminating to God as holiness and truth. Jesus is light, not just a light or the light, but he is light. He is God and he is light. In him is no darkness at all. Light is what God is. And it is the mysterious yet definitive part of his nature, and it can't be separated from him. But, okay, we know this about God and Jesus being the light, but what about this darkness? What is this darkness? In John 3, 19 to 21, we are given some indication that the darkness is shown by someone's actions or by their deeds. It says, "And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." So it's sourced in evil. "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." This juxtaposition of light and darkness speaks to the morality of man, but also to the holiness of God. The one who loves the light does what is true, and the one who loves the darkness, he hates the light and does what is evil. Why? Because the darkness and the works of darkness are antithetical to Jesus, the light of this world, and the righteousness that is being worked out, his righteousness being worked out in his people. So we could say that the character of Christ in the life of the believer is the light that every believer has been given. This, of course, is sourced in the Holy Spirit, who is at work in the Christian's life. I would say, then, if this is true, that what is this message of light? It is the gospel, the good news that Jesus came as holy God to be light to the world, to live, to die, to rise again, to save men from their sin, from their unholiness. The message of the light is about the holiness of God in comparison to the sinfulness of man. The message of light declares there is a way to come out of the darkness into the light of God. You too can be justified of your unholiness before God. You can be set apart to live righteous, holy lives as lights reflecting the light of Christ to this world. It's important to note, we don't just live out the character of Christ in our lives to be lights in the darkness. No, we have a message to declare about that light. It says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Just like John the Baptist, he had a message. He was sent to bear witness of that light. And we are called to tell the lost and dying world that Jesus came to bring them life and light if they would believe. He came to save them from the dark works of evil that they are lost in. He came to light the path of salvation for those who would believe and come out of the darkness. Those who have come out of this darkness in this world have passed from death into life, eternal life. The message of the light is about how we can have life in God, but also how we are made holy before God, brought from darkness into his glorious light. This leads us to the next observation about what the message of the light does. The message of the light transforms lives. Parents, have you ever told your children something that you believed was really important, but then within minutes, you realize that your message has fallen on deaf ears? This never happened to you before. Go clean your room. Yeah, they aren't doing anything about what you said. They're still playing with their toys. And you wanted them to change their behavior, to go clean their room, but they are just continuing in the pattern of fun. They don't want to do what you said. The same pattern is going on in their life. They're sinning. However, other times you have a talk with your children, and it seems like something clicked, you know? Like they get it. Maybe it's because you had some reward for them, but because immediately after you've talked to them, their behavior has changed. They decide, I'm going to do this. You know, their attitude is different, and their actions are different. What you said made a difference. It changed them. Likewise, the message of the light transforms us even more than our words change what our children's actions are. The message of the light transforms us, and when we believe, when we take it to heart, it transforms our whole being when we are genuinely repentant for our sins. Indeed, the repentant person undeniably knows he needs Jesus to save him. And then he has faith in Jesus to save him, and he is made different, a new person in Christ. It doesn't mean he never sins again, but it means that the difference of Christ is immediately and clearly seen. His life is no longer the same, because now his life is in the Son of God. The light of Christ has shone in his heart. He has seen himself as a sinner, but by faith, he is now a sinner, saved by grace. God has chosen to show great favor to him in saving him from his sin, and the light of Christ is now in him, and he is just before God. He is no longer wandering aimlessly, lost in the darkness. Now he is free from his sin through the message of the light that he has believed. It changes him from the inside out, as the Holy Spirit is now at work in him. He is no longer a child of disobedience. He is now a child of God. He is forgiven. My friends, the message of the light impacts lives. It's impacted my life and many of yours. It's impacted many lives down through history. It's not just a fairy tale that we imagine to be true. The message of the cross is light and life to us. Remember Jesus in John 14, verse 6? He's talking to Thomas. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the message we believe, and it transforms us, that Jesus is the way to salvation. He is the truth. He is the life. When we believe the message of the light, it changes us. The old man is put off. The new man is put on. Our motives are also changed to share the message of the light. Yet some people, after they claim to be saved, they don't really show any fruit. You know, it's not just enough for us to say we believe in Jesus. Verbal acknowledgement or a head knowledge are not enough by themselves. The Holy Spirit needs to indwell you because you truly have believed the words of life by faith. Remember the words of James when he reminds us that the demons even believe, but they tremble? Sola fide. Faith alone can save us. Hebrews 11 says it clearly. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The reward of faith means that the believer's life is transformed and is different because of the light of Christ that is shone in their hearts. But now we need to deal with a third observation about the message of the light and what it does. It fuels progressive sanctification. It doesn't just bring us to salvation, it helps us to live righteously. R.C. Sproul once said that the gospel is Jesus, who he is, what he does, and what he gives to us. The message of the light is the gospel. The gospel is helpful both to the unbeliever to bring him to repentance and to the believer to spur him on to live a repentant life. The believer knows that for a certainty that he is forgiven by God, and that spurs him to continually grow in grace and in the favor of God. The same believer also knows he has been given new life. The believer is living out the righteousness of God in his life. We as believers, once again, have the help of God in this endeavor. The Holy Spirit is in the people of God. He is working in them to do the will and good pleasure of God. Christ is in us through the Holy Spirit. The true Christian, the one that has true faith, is being renewed daily to be more and more transformed into the image of God, to reflect the light. As children of light, we possess a desire to show the light of Christ through our actions. If we see sin in our lives, we want to root it out, or at least we should. We confess that sin before God, and we know he is willing to forgive, even as our passage says. And as we do this, we are progressively more and more like Jesus. The light is dispelling the darkness in our lives. Over time, our actions are more and more in line with the truth of the Word of God. Sanctification is happening in the life of the believer. The fruit of the Spirit is showing itself more and more in his life. The attitudes and actions and words of the believer are moved by a gratitude for the light of Christ. We want to be like Jesus. We don't want to have sin reign in our lives anymore, because we have been given grace and forgiveness. Praise the Lord. An important indication that we are being sanctified is a desire to share that message of the light with others. Ask yourself this question. Do I desire to share the gospel with people? If you do not have at least a desire to share the gospel, you need to check yourself to make sure you are of the faith. Think of it this way. If you had a friend who saved you from death in some way, you would first be grateful to them for having saved you. But then you would want to share with others how they did this heroic act to save you from death. It is the same way with the gospel. If you have been saved by Jesus, you should have a desire to be grateful enough to want to share with others who are in danger. You want to share how they too can be saved from impending death, right? The more we understand how great our salvation is, the more we must share that great salvation with others. In fact, we should be willing even to give our lives, our own lives, to help others come to the light so that they too can have eternal life in Jesus. I know many of you are probably sitting here thinking this. Pastor Josiah, do you know my friends? They won't listen to me. Let me remind you, did people always listen to Jesus? No. Many walked away from him in John 6. You might say, but I don't know what to say. Tell them about how you were saved. Share with them John 3:16 if you need a quick, easy verse to help explain the gospel. Your friends or family or coworkers, they're lost. They are heading to eternity without Christ. They need to know of the way of escape, don't they? Now, if they choose to reject the gospel, then that's between them and God. And you need to leave it with them. I acknowledge we don't always feel like we have all the right answers, do we? When we're speaking to someone about the gospel. But I suppose we could answer something similar to the blind man who had been given sight by Jesus when he said in John 9:25, he answered about Jesus, whether this man is a sinner, I do not know. He didn't know who Jesus was until he had healed him. But one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Though I was lost, now I am saved. You now can see because your eyes have been opened. You have seen the light and have been set free. Share that with them. That's what they need to hear. They need to hear about the grace and forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. He is the Savior and light of the world. Let your light shine as you reflect Jesus to them so that others may believe. Tell them of the message of light. God is light. Tell them of God's message. Tell them of how God loved the world, that he sent light, his Son, to dispel the darkness. You know, although I may have sang this song, This Little Light of Mine, somewhat flippantly as a child, I now know what those words mean. And now I know that I want people to see the reflection of Christ in me and to hear from my lips the message of light. Is that the same for you? The fourth observation about the message of light, of what the light does. The message of light, it helps us to be honest. Honest about our sinfulness. Let's read verses 8 to 10 again. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we show to the world that we are not of the light. We show to believers that we are not of the light. We can't say we have no sin. We can't say we have no sin because to say that is to lie to ourselves, to others, to God. We must remember something else about the absolute nature of God, of Jesus. He is also truth. We do not have Jesus if we are not truthful about our sinfulness. The total depravity of mankind is a reality we must accept. A few years back, when that Boston Marathon bombing happened, I read an article that day about how the author of the article was glad that humanity was basically good. Or else this kind of thing, you know, it would happen more often. I commented on the article and was bombarded with hateful comments. Because I said, man is not basically good. If man was basically good, this kind of thing would not happen. Fundamentally, we are totally depraved. There is nothing in us that is good. Doesn't sound like what the world's saying. It is only when the light of Christ shines in our lives and we see the light of Christ that we have faith in Jesus to save us, that his light dispels the darkness from our lives. And yet, even then, it is only Jesus and his light that dispels the darkness of sin in our lives. I'm sure we all can echo the words of the third verse of Rock of Ages. Nothing in my hands I bring. I have no righteousness. Simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, for the righteousness of God. Helpless, look to thee for grace. We can't save ourselves. Foul, I fly, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. We need to be washed clean. Without the saving work on the cross and his resurrection, we are lost, totally depraved, dead in our trespasses and sins. But he has come to wash away that sin. He has come to open our eyes and illuminate to us the truth of the message of the gospel so we can be free from the wages of sin, which is death. So we can have life, eternal life, through the light of life, Jesus Christ. As believers, we know that if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us. And that's why we repent and confess our sins to God each time we sin. That is why we repented and confessed our sin to God when we first believed in Jesus. And we know what it is to be forgiven. We know the justice of God is satisfied in Jesus Christ on our behalf. We have an assurance. Our place is secure in heaven. We know that God is faithful to us. And he has shown over and over again that faithfulness. He is unchanging. What he has forgiven is forgiven forever. He remembers our sins no more. We believe this and are assured of his forgiveness. So we must share with the lost that are around us that although they too, like us, are sinners, they too can be forgiven because God's faithfulness in forgiving. That's why we share, because God is faithful to forgive. God's justice for them can be satisfied in Jesus if they will repent. However, if they continue to lie to themselves and tell themselves that they are basically good, that they can achieve heaven on their own with their own good works, they will die in their sins. If they continue to say, "I don't need God," they will be heaping judgment upon themselves. If they know of their sin and say, "Yeah, I'm a sinner," but fail to confess it by faith, asking God to forgive them, they too will face the consequences of their sin. Only when a person comes by faith to Jesus, confessing their sin with a repentant heart, admitting that he needs Christ's forgiveness for his sins, can he be saved. Romans 10, 9 to 11 says it this way, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. God doesn't reject those who have true faith and who confess their need to be forgiven by him, does he? No. He is faithful to cleanse them of all their unrighteousness. What a wondrous truth is that? He forgives those who ask. Simple truth. Everyone who calls on him by faith will be saved. Your sins can be forgiven. Admit today you are a sinner. Believe by faith that he can save you. Confess your sins before him and you will be saved. Yet again, James reminds us that God resists the proud who are not honest with God about their sins. But he gives grace to those who humble themselves before God, who are honest about their sins, who ask his forgiveness. This is the message of light, that Jesus, the holy God, came to give us salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection so that we can live each day forgiven and growing in his grace until we see him face to face. Whether that's at his bodily return or at our passing from this life, we get to see him. Get to see the light, be with him face to face. We have the message of the light. We know from our observations that the message of the light confronts us with God's holiness, but it also transforms our lives if we will believe in it. The message of light, it also fuels our sanctification as we go and grow in God's grace, and it is honest about our sin so that we will continue to be repentant, that we will even come to faith in the beginning. So, how are we going to respond to the message of light? If you are here today and you have not come to faith, believing in the message of light in Jesus, you can be saved today. I just told you about that. If you will believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross to cleanse you from your sinful ways, you can be saved. Ask God to forgive you. Confess your sin. Admit it, confess it, and believe. By faith, in God alone. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be sharing this message of the light. It's a dark world we're in. People are dying and hopeless in this world. They need light in the darkness, and we have the light. Hide it under a bushel. No. Do you remember that part of that song? That's probably my favorite part now. We need to not hide the light we have. We must go and tell the lost world how they can be brought from darkness into the glorious light of our Savior Jesus Christ. Our words need to be supported, though, also by our living daily our faith as we reflect the light to the world, as we also share that light. Jesus is the light, and we need to share the message of the light in this dark world. May God strengthen us to do that today and every day. This is the word of the Lord.